chapter 4, to read verses 35 through 41. This is our favorite passage of Scripture. We've preached a couple times from it here. But in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through, well, let's read through verse 1 of chapter 5. And the same day when the evening was come, he, that is Jesus, saith unto them, the apostles, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and it was now full. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he, Jesus, arose and rebuked the wind, and saith unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Matthew, in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. Luke, in Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. Also record what we just read here in Mark chapter 4. But it is Mark that gives the most detailed account, but however, it is by looking at all three accounts together that we get the most information of what happened here in that lake. We learn from Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, what happened here in our text took place on the same day. Notice those words, and the same day. It's talking about a specific day. And the specific day it was talking about had been a very illustrious day, a day in which Christ had displayed his teaching and healing powers. Chronologically, what we read here goes back to Matthew chapter 12 and the day that we read there. And on that day, Christ, according to Matthew chapter 12, Christ healed a man with a withered hand. And as the multitudes followed him, began to follow him, Jesus Christ began to heal many amongst the multitudes. He healed a demon-possessed man, and he then began to teach the people. And as he got close to the seaside, we read here in Mark chapter 4 and verse 1, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude. And with no place to go, we see that Matthew says in his account in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. So we have a multitude standing on bank. We have Jesus and his apostles in a ship, and Jesus begins to teach them from this ship. Note, we see this in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. We see that Jesus sat. And then later on we read, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them many things by parables. So we get the picture in our mind, the multitude again on the shore, and Jesus sitting in a ship, the apostles in the ship, and Jesus is teaching this multitude of people. And as evening begins to approach, Jesus says to the apostles who were with him in that ship and who had been listening to his teaching, there in Mark 4 and verse 35, let us pass over unto the other side. And that's where our text comes in, where we read that as they were passing over on the other side, apostles are guiding the boat. Jesus is asleep in the back part of the boat, and it was during this evening that they encountered a terrible storm. And that's what we want to speak on this morning, dealing with the storms and struggles of life. We desperately need the ability to correctly view our struggles. We need the ability to correctly view the storms that come upon us. Many times we have an incorrect view. We have an incorrect perception of the struggles. We have an incorrect perception of the storms, which of course leads to an improper dealing with these things. We want to point out six things concerning this storm. We see, first of all, that nothing exempts us from storms and struggles. In other words, there are no guarantees of a storm-free life. There's no one here that has a guarantee that you're going to have a storm-free life. There's no one here that has a guarantee that you're going to have a struggle-free life. Life is full of storms. Life is full of struggles. It's just simply a part of life. It is a part of living. Now, we see from our text that obedience does not exempt one from the storms and the struggles. Because as we see from our text, we also see that being with Christ does not exempt one from storms and troubles. Being in the right boat does not exempt one from storms and from struggles. We see the apostles, of course, they were following Christ in the path of duty. They were obediently following Christ wherever he went. They were listening to his teaching. They were daily attending upon his ministry. They were hearkening to his word. They were in the right boat. They were with the right person. And yet we see them in a storm. And we see them in the struggle of their lives. So there is nothing that exempts you and I from the storms and from the struggles of life. Secondly, the storms and struggles can be sudden and they can be unexpected. Some storms you can see coming and you can prepare for them. But most of the time, the storms are sudden and the storms are unexpected. The struggles are sudden and the struggles are unexpected. We see here as they headed out, all was smooth sailing. And then we read in Mark 4 and verse 37, and there arose, without any warning, there arose a great storm of wind. Matthew, in his account, says, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. There in Matthew 8 and verse 24. And Luke says, in his account, in Luke 8 and verse 23, there came down a storm of wind on the lake. So Matthew and Mark says there arose. Luke says there came down a storm of wind. All implying that this storm was unexpected. All implying that this storm was without any warning whatsoever. And such storms were very common on the Sea of Galilee. And no doubt the apostles had experienced some of these storms in the past. But this storm was different because we see the fear that the apostles had at this point. So again, the waters can be calm 1 minute and they can become very violent the next. And so it is with our life. One moment, everything can be what you and I consider to be fine. And the next moment, the bottom falls out. And it looks like we can't make it. This is the worst thing of all time. 1 minute, you can be enjoying fair weather. And the next minute, you find yourself in the very midst of the storm of your life. As we've said many times, it only takes one phone call and you're in a storm. One phone call and you are in the struggle of your life. One doctor's visit. That's why I stay away from doctors. Just kidding. One doctor's visit and your whole life can drastically change. One tick of the clock And there you are in the storm of your life. They come suddenly. They come unexpectedly. They can swoop down upon us at any time without any warning whatsoever. And the Bible gives us many pictures of these storms. We see, thirdly, that the storms can be severe without warning. In our text, a furious storm comes upon the lake. The waves sweep over the boat that they are in. The storm was raging. The winds are blowing. The waves are rising. And Matthew, in describing the storm, called it a great tempest. There in Matthew 8 and verse 24. Mark calls it a great storm of wind. And Luke described it as a storm of wind. Mark says, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. If your boat is filling up with water, you are in trouble. You had better do something. You had better take some action. And we see here that their boat was filling up with the waters. We see that Luke says that the ship was covered with the waves. And we see also that it was filled with water. And Luke says, so much so that we were in jeopardy. That is, we were in extreme danger. Our lives were on the line because of this storm. So the ship was near to going in pieces. It's filling with water. And now the apostles are in jeopardy. One gust of wind would lift the ship up, and it's almost like you're going to get thrown out of the ship, and the next wave would send the ship plunging down into the depths of the Galilee Sea. So we see they were in jeopardy. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record the words, "We perish." All of them record those words. They all came to Christ. And they said, "We perish." In other words, we're going to die. There's no hope. There's no way out of this storm. This was a terrible storm. Again, you've got to remember that at least four of these apostles were experienced fishermen. And they joined in and said, "We perish. We perish." So this was a terrible storm. This was not an ordinary storm. Now, storms, of course, are a picture of the trials of life. They are a picture of the difficulties. They are a picture of the hardships of life, the struggles of life. They are a picture of adversity in life. They are a picture of the burdens of life, the stresses of life, the calamities of life, the sorrows of life. And again, we all experience these things. We all have setbacks. We all have afflictions. We all have battles. You say, "Well, I never have." Well, just wait, you will. We all have these things. There's always going to be obstacles. The storms are inevitable, they are unpredictable, and they can be very, very severe. And they can be very dangerous, so much so that they can appear to be life-threatening. So we see that the apostles and the boat they're in, they are overwhelmed at this point. Fourthly, we see there were also other little ships in the storm. You notice in Mark chapter 4, in verse 36, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships." Mark is the only one who records that fact. And it's something we need to always remember. When you and I are in the storm, when you and I are in the struggle of our lives, just like the apostles, we're not the only one going through a storm. We're not the only one who are in the struggle of our life. And we don't know anything about these other little ships. We don't know who was on board those ships. We don't know what those people were feeling. I imagine they were feeling the same thing, perhaps even to a greater degree than the apostles in the ship with Christ. But there were other little ships. So always remember, however troubled you may be,
however bad your circumstances are, you're not alone. There's others going through the same storm. There's others going through the same struggle. You see, the devil tries to convince us many times, and our own selfishness tries to convince us sometimes that we're the only one. No one's ever had it like this. Oh, they have. And you're not the only one in the storm. There are other people in the storm. You need to just get up on the deck of your boat and look out, and you'll see some other little ships that are also struggling with the same storm. But Mark recognized that before the storm started, that there were other little ships. And how often people think that their burden is heavier than anyone else's. Again, I remind you, there are other little ships. There are other little ships. The apostles in the boat that they were in had the immediate presence of Christ. Those in those other little ships didn't. Christ wasn't in their boat. The apostles had immediate access to Jesus Christ. That wasn't the case with those who were in the little ships. So not only are there other little ships going through the same storm that you're going through the same struggles that you're going through, they don't have the same resources that you have. So who has it worse? They do. They do. Again, we don't know what went on in those little ships. We can only imagine. But I'll say this. I'd rather be in the boat that he's in than be in one of those other little ships. Whatever the storm may be, if I'm in the boat that he's in, I'm better off than those who are in the other little ships. So we need to always remember, never forget, that there are others upon the storm-tossed waters, and they may not have the same resources that you have. They may not know the same Lord that you know. We see, fifthly, that sometimes in the storm, the Lord appears to be indifferent. Matthew records that the ship was covered with the waves, but he, Jesus, was asleep. Mark says the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And Luke records, but as they sailed, he, Jesus, fell asleep. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all took notice that Jesus Christ was asleep. They all took notice of that. And all three of them, and I'm sure the other apostles as well, had a problem with it. Because they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" In other words, they assumed that Jesus was indifferent to their storm, to their struggle. So they all took notice that he was asleep. And we see that Mark records that when they came to Christ to awake him, they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And when Christ appears to be indifferent, all that does is add to the stress of the storm. The storm's bad enough that your boat is being tossed to and fro and that you have lost control. That's bad enough. But then when you begin to think that Christ does not care, that Christ is indifferent to my situation, you have now added to the stress of the storm. You have now fed your fear. And you have now increased your struggle. And this is the way that they were thinking. Well, we need to always remember, no matter how it appears, and I believe it does appear that way times, that Christ is indifferent. I believe it appears that way to test our faith. But what you and I need to always remember is the Lord is never indifferent. He is never indifferent to anything that happens upon this world. In fact, if you trace it all the way back, you'll find him behind everything. I find comfort in that. So he's never indifferent. He knows what is happening. He has a concern about what is happening to us. And I believe he's more concerned about what is happening in us than he is what is happening around us and to us. And I believe the Lord was more concerned with what was going on in the hearts of the apostles than he was with the storm that was raging. And the truth is, the apostles should have been more concerned what was going on in their own hearts rather than the storm that was out on the ship, out on the sea, because the storm that was going on in their own hearts was even greater than the storm that they found themselves in the midst of. And sixthly, the storm is all storms. The struggles have a purpose. They all have a purpose. We see that when Christ said to the apostles, "Let us pass over unto the other side," did he not know? Did he not know that a storm was coming? Certainly he did. Did he not know everything about that storm? Yes, he did. Yet he said, "Let us pass over the other side." As they sailed, Jesus Christ fell asleep. When he fell asleep, did he not know that they would be passing through a storm? I ask you, even when Christ was asleep, being God, did he not know that they were in a storm? He sure did. He knew it all. Even when Christ was asleep and appeared to be indifferent, he knew how the wind was blowing. He knew that the boat was filling up with waves. He's God. He knows it all. But he, knowing everything that was going to happen, Jesus said, "Let us pass over to the other side." That tells me that there had to be a purpose. There had to be a purpose for the apostles to go through this storm. I would hate to think that everything that I have to go through, everything that you have to go through, has no purpose. I would hate to think that way. I believe everything I go through, everything that you go through, every storm, every struggle, has a God purpose behind it. And the sooner you and I can find the God purpose, the better off we will be. Now, the purpose of the storm, was it the purpose of the storm to destroy the apostles? Well, if it was, he would have done that. He would have done that. The Lord fulfills his purpose. So obviously, it was not his purpose to destroy them. And it's not the Lord's purpose to destroy us in our storms and in our struggles. Was it his purpose to harm them? Did they have any harm? No, not really. They came through without any injury. Wasn't his purpose to harm them. And it's not the Lord's purpose in your storms and in your struggles to harm you. Now, I do believe that it was his purpose to help them. Did he not help them? Certainly he did, so it must have been his purpose to help them. I believe it was his purpose to change them also. Did he not change them? I believe it was his purpose to challenge them, to strengthen them, to better them, to teach them. This was his purpose in this particular storm. And this is a truth that we must never, ever lose sight of. In all the storms, in all the struggles, God has a purpose. And his purpose is not to destroy his children. His purpose is to develop his children. Contrary to common belief, the storms and the struggles are not bad things. That's the way we tend to think. Oh, a storm's in my life. This is bad.
No, it could be the best thing that ever happened to you. These aren't bad things. We need to get that out of our mind. Are they hard things? Yes. Are they difficult things? Yes. Are they trying things? Yes. Does that mean they're bad things? No. Not at all. Not at all. So, contrary to that common belief, the Lord uses the storms. He uses the struggles to direct us. He uses the storms and the struggles to inspect us and to correct us, and which he did here with the apostles, but also to connect us to him, to bring us closer to the Lord, and to eventually perfect us or to cause us to grow spiritually. So in every storm and every struggle, there's a purpose. Now, it was in this storm, speaking of the purpose, that the apostles were brought to see how little control they had over their lives. That is one thing the storm will teach you if you're willing to learn. That you really have very, very little control at all. In fact, when it comes down to it, you have none. After spending some time in the storm-tossed waters, fighting the powerful winds and the overwhelming waves, and after their boat filled with water, they were brought to the terrifying discovery. Again, keep in mind, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, we know those four were experienced fishermen and no doubt familiar with the Sea of Galilee and had experienced many storms in the past. But now they come to the realization, we can't handle this storm. And it was when they came to that realization that they went and they awoke Christ. The truth is, the only time you and I really go to the Lord is when we finally come to the realization, and it takes some folks longer to get there than others, but when we finally come to the realization, I can't handle this situation. That's when the apostles, I don't know how long they fought the winds, I don't know how long they fought the waves, but I know that they did for some time before they finally went to Christ and awoke him. And so it is with you and I. The Lord puts us through the storms and struggles. Teach us. You're not able to handle this situation. You're not able. And the apostles here learned that they were unable, though they had handled storms in the past or thought they had. And again, you may have handled things in the past or thought you did. The Lord handled it. And then one of these days, the Lord's going to bring you to the realization, no, you think you handled it back then, you didn't. He took care of it. And he's going to make it more obvious to you that you can't handle the situation. And it's then that we go to the Lord. So this, a situation had swooped down upon them that was beyond their control. And they came to that realization. And when they got to the point that they felt we're going to perish, we're going to die, that's when they went to Christ. Isn't it amazing how close we've got to get to death sometimes before we'll even cry out to God? And that was the case here with the apostles. So when they felt that they were about to perish, they went to Christ. But notice, they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They went to Christ with a spirit of impatience. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And Lord, in other words, Lord, wake up, do something right now. They were impatient. How often we go to the Lord in impatience. But there was also some unbelief there. We perish. We're going to die. Lord, you need to do something. So they came with impatience. They came with unbelief.
They also came with distrust.
Carest thou not? Is there not a degree of distrust in those words? And they came in fear. We perish. This is how they came. So they didn't actually come in the right attitude. They did not come in the right spirit. They doubted his concern for them. They doubted his commitment to them. But they came. I'm glad that I don't always have to go to the Lord in a perfect spirit in order for God to hear me. The apostles here did not go in the right spirit. We need to ask ourselves, when the pressures of life come upon us, what comes out? What comes out of us? I mean, what is the first thing? I'm not talking about 2 days later when you finally get around to going to the Lord with it. What is the first thing that comes out? Anger? Frustration? Impatience? Distrust? Fear? In the storms and struggles of life, where do you turn? I mean, who's the first one you turn to? Food? Many do. Escape? I got to get away. Drugs? All kinds of things. Or do you just turn within? I'm going to pout for a while. I'm going to have a pity party. I'm going to turn within. I'm not going to talk to anybody, and I don't want anybody to talk to me. I'm going to turn within. Wouldn't we be better off just turning to the Lord? Turning to him first? Again, the apostles, they went through all of these struggles, and eventually they came to Christ. And even when they did that, they came in a wrong spirit. So one of the purposes of the storm is to teach us that we don't have control. Another purpose of the storm is to teach us, or to give us, a fresh discovery of Jesus Christ. It was in this storm that the apostles learned something of the Lord. They learned, first of all, the importance of the presence of the Lord. They also learned something about the power of the Lord. They had seen his power over disease. They had seen his power over demons. But in this storm, they would see that he had power over the deep. He had power over the deep. They would learn that he is the master of the deep. The storm that so terrified them, Jesus was asleep. In other words, it didn't rouse him. It was no problem to him whatsoever. And though you may lose it, he doesn't. He doesn't. Could you imagine if the Lord ever lost it? Doesn't happen. And we see it was in the storm that they learned about the person of the Lord. When Jesus calmed the waters and the wind, we read that they marveled. That means that they were amazed, that they were astonished, that they were flabbergasted. And then it says, and they wondered. That speaks of awe. And it also speaks of curiosity. How did he do that? So they marveled and they wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? You see, they had a fresh discovery of the person of Jesus Christ. What they discovered that day is that Jesus Christ is the one who can. What they discovered that day is Jesus Christ is able. And don't you think that after Jesus stood and calmed that storm and also calmed their hearts, that Jesus became more precious to them? And it's in the storms and struggles of life that Jesus becomes more precious usually. Don't you think that Jesus became more lovely to them? More beautiful to them? More meaningful to them? It was in the storm that they learned to stand in awe of him. We read in verse 41 of Mark chapter 4, after the Lord calmed the storm, and they feared exceedingly. That's a different kind of fear that they had of the waves and the wind, because now the waves and the wind aren't, they're calm. This talks about reverence. After Jesus stood and calmed the storm, they feared exceedingly. That is, they realized that they were in the presence of God Almighty. Another purpose in the storm was, it was in the storm that they experienced a calm. Matthew and Luke record that Jesus Christ arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. It is Mark that says that Jesus Christ rebuked the winds and the sea, and then it tells us what he said. Peace, be still. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that there was a great calm. This was no ordinary calm. This was a great calm. In other words, the calm was greater than the storm. Not only did he calm the storm, he calmed their hearts. And many times, in this case, the Lord calmed the storm and their hearts. Many times with you and I, the Lord may not calm the storm, but he can calm our hearts in the storm. Does it really matter which he does? Not really. In either case, there's a great calm. And many times we need to pray. Instead of just getting so focused on the Lord stopping the storm and putting a stop to the struggle, we need to pray many times, Lord, send a calm upon my heart. Just calm my heart, calm my mind. Give me that peace that passeth understanding. So in closing, the storms, the struggles, they're inevitable. They're inevitable. They can be sudden. They can be unexpected. They can be quite severe. But no matter what form the storm takes, no matter what form the struggle takes, Christ is bigger than the storm. He always is. He is bigger than the storm, and he can calm the storm. He can calm our hearts in the midst of the storm. In other words, within him is a calm greater than the storm. Whatever your struggle is, whatever your storm is, I'm telling you, in Christ is a calm that is greater than whatever storm you're going through. In Christ is a calm that is greater than whatever struggle you're going through. And it is important to remember where we're headed. Never, ever lose sight of where you're headed, to the other side. That's where we're headed. We lose focus sometimes and we act like this is my permanent home. This isn't your permanent home. You're just passing through. And in passing through, there's some storms that you've got to go through. You're not going to get stuck in the storm. You're going to go through the storm, and you're going to get to the other side. And guess what? When you get to the other side, you want to talk about a great calm. That's when we will experience the greatest calm that we've ever seen. As great as this calm was, it took place on that sea, it's even a greater calm when we get to the other side. So Jesus Christ does not exempt us from the storm. He does not exempt us from the struggles, but he is perfect security in the storms and in the struggles. There are others going through storms and struggles that do not have the security that you and I have. So however bad your storm is, I got news for you, theirs is worse. Because they don't have that security. They don't have access to Jesus Christ. Christ does not promise an easy passage through this life, but he does guarantee for everyone that knows him as Savior, he guarantees a safe landing. He guarantees that we will safely get to the other side. Don't lose sight of where you're headed. Don't allow the storm to cloud your vision where you forget where it is you're headed. Where it is that you're going to wind up. Don't lose sight of that. And just realize, yes, I've got to go through this storm. I've got to go through this struggle. But I don't go alone, because Jesus Christ is with me. And I'm not the only one going through the storm. Don't ever think, oh, poor me. I've got it worse than Job did. Just get up on the deck of your boat and look out. Why don't you just take the time to get out and look? And what you'll see is, I'm not the only one in these storm-tossed waters. There's people all around me going through similar storms, going through similar struggles. And many of those in those other little ships, they don't have the Christ that I have. They don't have the hope that I have. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. So again, the storms and the struggles, they're not bad things. It's what God uses to teach us. It's what God uses to show us many things. Brother Larry, if you